Thank you for downloading this podcast from the UK Intensive Care Society State of the Art Meeting 2015. It's even better in person, so put December the 5th to the 7th, 2016 in your diary and come and join us in London next year.
Yeah, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't know that Peter's, and I'm my surname is Peter as well, would fit that nicely because there was a question, do you do that yourself? This is myself starting in an apnea dive under the ice. It's not a horizontal one, it's a vertical one. And I will share some physiology of diving with you. When you go into the water, you start up with immersion. And of course, that's not me, as you can easily imagine. And what happens if you are immersed? You are in an atmosphere that is 800 times more denser than the air, and it pushes up your diaphragm. It redistributes blood volume to the intrathoracic part. And this is a cartoon. You have an increased thoracic blood volume, and your lung is squeezed, and you have this blood shift is around a half to three quarters of a liter of blood. And what does that mean? You squeeze the lung, you have more blood, you deteriorate at first glance your gas exchange. So if you are interested in gas exchange, you don't want to deteriorate, don't do apnea diving. Now, with that, there's a marked bradycardia, which is present in any homeothermic species. And I give you my ECG in a 30 seconds exposure to ice cold water, just the face. This is my ECG. I slow down a bit. Then someone asked me to put out my face out of the ice cold water. Now, this is the number one. That is a protective effect, the bradycardia induced by the diving. Now, if you are interested in diving, then you use a snorkel. But a snorkel like that is never possible because this is the atmospheric pressure, and you have to decrease the pressure in the airways below atmospheric pressure to fill up the lung. And the longer the snorkel, the more difficult it becomes, so that this is not possible. But how in the hell these animals breathe with a snorkel that is 2 to 3 meters long? For quite a bit of time, that was not known. But elephants don't have a pleural space as we have, so they can breathe with snorkels that are 2 to 3 meters long. Now, if we go back to physics of diving, what happens with gas exchange? You compress the air in the lung because the lung volume decreases, and so the partial pressures go up. So you basically are in hyperoxic environment. Now, in order to check that, we put in arterial catheters in voluntary apnea divers, in the professional divers in Korea and in the national team of the German apnea team. And this is the way how this was done. It was in a wet tank, which is in a pressurized chamber. And we put in the arterial line, and then the divers went down. And they arrive at the bottom. Unfortunately, the camera team had forgotten to put in batteries in a tight system, so their light system was flooded. Then you take the arterial sample at the beginning of the diving phase, at the end. And then the diver is allowed to go back up again. And what you can clearly see, the PO2 follows Dalton's and Boyle-Mariotte's law. That is, with the pressure, you have an increase, which is pretty high even at the end of the diving phase. But at the very end, when they surface again, the arterial PO2 was in the low 20s, to very similar to what Peter had just recorded. And the saturation was pretty much the same. But to our great surprise, no increase of PCO2 despite 5 to 6 minutes of apnea. With this in mind, we also asked the question whether you can accumulate nitrogen in your tissues. Because if you go down, of course, the PN2 increases, goes back up and two. And so, indeed, in the professional apnea divers, we put in central venous line and collected blood for PN2 measurements, and it followed a nice monocompartmental saturation and desaturation curve. If this is the case, then how do these animals survive? Because these Weddell seals can dive down to 600-700 meters. They would need to have rupture of the death and extreme decompression sickness, which they necessarily don't have. And in fact, when you look at their nitrogen partial pressures, they go up to a certain level and then they level out. They no longer increase. Why is that the case? Because in these seals and in whales, the lung collapses during the dive and it reopens at surfacing, which is not possible for us. Why is that possible in these animals? They don't have a sternum. Seals have a very small one. Whales don't have any sternum. And the ribs can overlap each other like a spaghetti fork. Now, what they have as a second issue is they can increase their hemoglobin, because when you take the arterial oxygen content values before the dive and immediately after the dive at the first breath, immediately after the dive it's higher. And they breathe the same air before and after that. So they have to increase their hemoglobin. And where does the blood come from? It comes from the spleen. These Weddell seals inject about 20 liters of oxygen-saturated blood at a hematocrit of 95 into their circulation. And man can do the same thing. We measured the spleen size in apnea divers, and you can see trained apnea divers also constrict their spleen and eject a small amount of oxygen-saturated blood into their circulation due to the reactivated spleen contraction reflex. Now, can you enhance your depth limits? Because once the lung collapse, you would be below the residual volume. Of course, you can. If you have a nice elastic thoracic cage, it's fine, and you can even increase the gas volume in the lung, the total capacity. This is called the CARB in French and in English. These people more or less swallow air, but they with the larynx open, and they push it into their lungs in order to increase the total capacity. And in order to show you, we measured in one of these volunteers, and he started off with a total capacity of 10 liters, and he was able to add on another 3 liters of air into the lung, which is, of course, an overpressure. And when we calculated the amount, the depths he would theoretically reach, the total capacity was increased to 13 liters. His residual volume due to the extremely elastic thoracic cage could be reduced by 0.3, and that would make up for 84 meters of depth, but he was already beyond that. And now the blood shift comes into existence, which makes up for another approximately 0.7 liters of blood that replace the gas volume. And he was at a theoretical depth of 200 meters, and actually the current world record is at 214 meters. Now, is that dangerous? Of course it's dangerous. Because if you have that overflooding in the pulmonary capillary system, necessarily you may have edema, or eventually, if there's rupture of the alveolar capillary membrane, you have hemorrhagic pulmonary edema. And here is an MRI. I apologize for the quality of such an effect on the lung. And you can see how the lung goes down and the heart nearly disappears. And the sagittal view makes the heart disappear again. Does that have any consequences? Yes, it does, because it creates a situation that is very, very common or very similar to acute pulmonary embolism, because the left ventricle has hardly any blood volume left. The right ventricle enlarges, and the right ventricular ejection fraction goes down, and only due to some tachycardia, these divers maintain a certain level of blood pressure. And this means if you do a profound apnea training, within 2 or 3 years, you have a fair risk of developing echo or ECG signs of right ventricle, of cor pulmonale. And with this, I would like, there should be another, okay. This is the last dangerous issue of, the last dangerous issue of apnea diving. And with this, I thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you, Peter. Another fantastic talk. Any questions for Peter? Are you looking for any volunteers for any studies?
Oh, yeah. The last one, we had only 3 or 4 volunteers. So if you volunteer for 5 minutes of apnea at 20 meters of depth, you're more than welcome, including an arterial line, I must admit.